name, of course, is Warren Johnson.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now. What is your name?
Yeah, as always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Facone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
You know, you got a back nickel.
I don't really know it like you think that you do.
I'm Ryan Isley.
What is he doing?
Oh, my God. Is he the third man?
He's the third man.
What the hell is going on here?
Straight Shooters is, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Maniacism.
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Hal.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
What's up, everybody out there in internet land? My name is Vaughn Johnson, and joined as always by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Facone, the Philly voice and Philly influencer. And you are listening to episode 230 of the Straight Shooters on a whole range of platforms, a multitude of platforms on those interwebs, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, etc. You can also subscribe and, you know, like us and review us on there as well. Listen to us, of course, as always on there as well. But before I get into other places you can find us on these here interwebs, I got to check in with my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Facone. How you doing tonight, my good brother, on this crazy, one of these crazy times, in the crazy 48 hours you've had here in the United States?
You said it, man. I don't know what to think. The weather doesn't matter today. you know, it was really nice outside today, but that's about it. We're obviously in the middle of a pandemic with the coronavirus, and now it's affecting everything that, like, we talk about, almost everything that we follow for on a day-to-day basis. You know, just 24 hours ago, right after the Sixers game, the NBA announced that they were suspending the season. So it kind of was a snowball effect from there. They were the first real entity to, like, global entity to really – you know, make a move like that. So, and you talk about the last 48 hours, it even goes back further than that, but especially today and last night. Man, it's been crazy. WWE's under a lot of pressure. AEW's under a lot of pressure. Other wrestling companies are under a lot of pressure. It's just something like we've never seen before. You know, like even like this doing this podcast the last 5 years. We've never seen anything like this, and even before then, like, I just feel like I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime that affects so many things like this. So it's just crazy, man. I'm trying to keep my head on straight. I'm trying not to get sucked into, you know, one way or the other, keeping a close eye on my parents, making sure they're okay. So just really kind of being tired and exhausted, and that's about it. You know, like I didn't even watch NXT that much last night or Dynamite that much. And it was on TV, but clearly there were other things I was following that were more pertinent. So I couldn't even tell you what happened on TV last night, honestly. So that's where I'm at. How about you?
Yeah, man, it's a lot going on, man. It's concerning. You know, the more you look at the news, the more you kind of get worried about things, you know. It's crazy. Like you said, everything's at kind of a standstill. Just hope everybody out there can stay safe. Hope everybody can get tested. I mean, that's not up to us, obviously, but it's up to, you know, the government and whatnot. Hopefully we can get enough tests out there so people can get tested and we can get a kind of a gauge on what in the hell is going on out here
in these streets.
In these streets, man. I ain't gonna be out. I'm gonna tell you right now, before the end of the show, you will not find me out here in these streets for the you know, next at least week or so. So you know, just that just so y'all know, you will not find me out here in these streets. And if you're out here in these streets, be careful, please. But like you said, we got a lot to talk about. As far as this coronavirus stuff. I mean, it's not just, we're not medical experts. We're not going to talk about the seriousness and severity of it and stuff like that. We're just really going to talk about how it affects what we cover here on the Straight Shooters, and that's pro wrestling, because it has already had an effect on the entire industry from top to bottom. So we're going to chat up about that and talk about maybe some other stuff, I guess, including my time at Elimination Chamber this past Sunday. Talk about my live event experience and just the experience of a young child at a wrestling event. You might have seen a good buddy, E-Rock. He put out a tweet of his daughter at, I think it was a live event. I don't think it was Elimination Chamber. But either way, he took his daughter to a wrestling show recently, a WWE show, and she was losing her mind. And hey, that's how most kids react when they go to a live wrestling show. So we're going to talk about that, dissect that in wrestling fandom. Hopefully, we get to go back to a live wrestling show in the very near future. Hopefully, this is contained and under control. We can go back to normalcy of being in large crowds and enjoying live entertainment in person. Hopefully, that's the case. But before we get into our discussions about the world today, of course, I forgot to tell you earlier about where you can find us on these interwebs. I got to remind you that you can also find us on shootersradio.com. We can find all 229 prior episodes of the show. Of course, you also find us on Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio, where you can subscribe to some exclusive content for the also inexpensive fee of $1.99. shootersradio.com and patreon.com/shootersradio. Now, if you haven't heard, there's a little bug going around. It's called the coronavirus, and it's not good. Obviously, and I'm not even trying to make light of it. It's really, it's been bad. I mean, you may think it's bad here, and if you go to other places, it's far worse. Some places have actually started to bounce back from it, actually, which is a good sign. Hopefully, that's us soon here. But, you know, here we are right now. And a lot of precautionary measures have been taken, and rightfully so. You mentioned earlier the NBA was kind of the first people to say, you know what, we shouldn't do anything. And it didn't, you know, obviously what helped that decision was a player testing positive, two players testing positive for the virus. And, you know, look, we got to shut it all down. NHL shut down, Major League Baseball shut down, the NFL, as of now, nothing is shut down quite yet. The new league year starts to start as scheduled. That's as we sit here today, as we record this on Thursday, March 12th, 2020. Things could change by tomorrow, March 13th, if you listen to this on 13th or 14th or whatever. But all the sport entities, NCAA tournament, pretty much it's a wrap. Like, teams are willingly pulling out of the tournaments. And that's across all levels, D1, D2, D3.
Men's and women's have been canceled. Yeah.
All the spring sports and colleges are pretty much postponed so further notice. The XFL is, the statement said currently we're not going to play, but pretty much it looks like they're done for 2020.
Yeah, the language is important. So, like, some leagues are just suspending it for now. Others are kind of like, all right, like college, you know, like when they can't really push their season back. So mainly college, you know, so language is definitely important in how these statements are.
When it comes to the XFL, it sounds like unless something changes in the very like near future, within like a week, they're done for 2020, which kind of sucks because they were doing well, I thought, in 2020 in their first season back. Just unfortunate circumstances that we are in right now. But, of course, this also affects our world of pro wrestling. And you talk about major gatherings with a lot of people. A lot of people, when this story is first broke and it's you know, getting bigger and bigger, unfortunately, was like, what's going to happen for WrestleMania where there's a crowd of 70,000 plus people and potentially over 100,000 plus people going in and out of that area, Tampa, you know, I don't know the surrounding cities, but in and out of that area, what's going to happen with that? Is that in jeopardy? Your damn Skippy is in jeopardy. And forget WrestleMania. That's a couple weeks away. Shows that are happening this weekend are in jeopardy, including SmackDown, which WWE actually officially, I want to say canceled. They just
moved.
They moved it.
Yeah.
So scheduled to take place in Detroit. but it will now be taking place at the WWE Performance Center in Orlando. Same thing happened with NXT just last night. I think NXT actually moved for, I don't know if it was coronavirus or there's already a prior booking there. I'm not totally sure. But there's only going to be essential personnel in attendance. AEW has pushed their shows, moved their shows to Jacksonville for the next 2 weeks, which is like their home base. You got PWG called off their show on March 29th. But like I said, even after SmackDown, WWE show in Youngstown, Ohio, done, canceled. But WWE is in like a stalemate with the city of Tampa for some reason when it comes to canceling WrestleMania or potentially postponing it, pushing it back or whatever. Because, I mean, obviously, I mean, look, from a business standpoint, WWE does not want to have to make that decision on their own. they're going to have to be forced to cancel WrestleMania or postpone WrestleMania. So from their standpoint, they're like, look, we'll go with the show if we have to. But for whatever reason, no one is forcing their hand as of yet. I don't know why that's happening. Because like I just mentioned, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, XFL, CFL is not going to have any type of events happening coming up soon. And the season doesn't start for a couple months, but like, you know, their combines are shut down, their free agencies, you know, the NFL, the scouts are off the road, you know, nobody's going to pro days and stuff like that. Some of the facilities are shut down, including the Novacare complex. We're out of there until at least the 30th at the earliest. And that's public news. That's not like some inside knowledge. That's we announced that today.
Breaking news.
Yeah, we announced that on our social media channels today. But yeah, so like I said, that's March 30th at the earliest. So everybody else taking these major precautions to, you know, avoid the spread of this virus. Not only avoid the spread, but to protect the people that are most vulnerable to this, which it seems, at least from what we've heard so far, anyone can get it, obviously, but the people that are most vulnerable as far as, unfortunately, as far as potential death are people who are older, especially older with pre-existing conditions, or just in general, you know, poor immune systems in general, regardless of your age. So to protect them from potential mortality, you know, from potential death, we kind of have to halt these massive gatherings and hopefully get some tests going, you know, hopefully, and figure all this out. WWE is like, hold on now. We stand to make hundreds of millions of dollars with this. We don't necessarily want to have to do this, but it's probably going to happen. It's probably going to happen. Right, Nick?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't fathom a world in the next 30 days where WrestleMania is going to go off in Tampa without a hitch. Like, I can't picture that. I think, you know, it's all about money. Clearly, it's why WWE has not canceled WrestleMania to this date. It's why they don't want to move it, because everything's been in motion for over a year now that Tampa Bay 2020 WrestleMania or Tampa. So, you know, even this travel ban that was announced last night by the president is, you know, it's going to affect people coming over, you know, to WrestleMania from Europe, and you know, everyone from all over the world comes to the U.S. mainland for WrestleMania. WrestleMania has been held here for many, many years. They rarely hold it in Canada and any other country. So it's going to affect WrestleMania whether they go through with the show or not, and it's going to affect it in a negative way. So I feel like there's a negotiation going on. Like, Vince McMahon wants his money from the government of Tampa. Tampa wants, you know, they don't want to lose out on the business that they're going to get with WrestleMania coming to town, because it's not just WrestleMania. It's all the ancillary events. It's other pro wrestling companies that are running shows there that are going to be affected. And I understand that. But when you see, you know, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, the major sports franchises in this country halt operations, just for now. You know, they didn't say they were going to cancel any seasons. I know WrestleMania is an event that once you cancel it, you cancel it. You're not going to have a WrestleMania in May. You can't.
I mean, you could.
I don't think, but you could, but it's not going to be the same monetarily wise for WWE. That's why I don't think they're going to do that.
Here's what I think. I don't mean to cut you off, but here's what I think. Yeah. I think once, if hopefully this blows over soon, right? Let's say hypothetically, the next couple of weeks we got it. We're in a better situation, and we can get back to having live events in all forms of entertainment. If that happens, I think people are going to be like so happy to that happens again that they're going to go and take part. Maybe there'll be some apprehension, maybe. And I can see that. Maybe there's apprehension, like, oh, is it really safe? Really? I'm going to wait a little while longer. But I think there's some that's going to be like, you know what? I've been cooped up in the house too long. I'm ready. So that, but, you know, you could be right in that people might
be feeling it. Do you mean if it stays where it is now or if they move it?
If let's say, I think this is if they just move it back like a month and it's still in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard for everyone to get there. I mean, maybe they'll still have a great crowd on hand if they do move it. But, you know, you have to pay time off from jobs, and they're not going to let you move that.
That's true.
I think that's the biggest issue when it comes to traveling and everything like that. Like, everyone has already had it set up for like a year, and it's not that easy with employers around the world. It should be that easy, but employers do what they do, so they're not. I've experienced it in the past. Years ago, I had a vacation scheduled, and then I wound up having to take off the week before it was scheduled, and then they wouldn't let me go on my vacation the week after. So I find that to be kind of like normal in society today. So I don't know how many employers will allow their employees to just push back their vacation, which it shouldn't be as hard as it seems to be. And I made a joke tweet last night. I could, if they do move it from Tampa, I could absolutely see them going to Saudi Arabia and having a WrestleMania there. That,
but
like,
then you gotta travel. You put your talent at risk doing that, though, man.
I agree. And then, you know, their statement said our talent is, you know, of supreme importance and all this stuff. And I just don't buy it. I think it's all about money. So they're gonna get money from Saudi Arabia. They'll probably get extra money
Speaking of the statement, I have the statement that WWE put out today. It says, while we remain committed to hosting WrestleMania at Raymond James Stadium on Sunday, April 5th, and that's Raymond James Stadium, is a stadium in Tampa, we are putting contingency plans in place in the event that it is canceled by government officials, civil authorities, and or local venues. Which means, look, this event is going to happen whether they say it is or not. Like, we're only going to not do it at Raymond James Stadium unless we're told not to. Mm-hmm. And if we're told not to, you better believe we're going to do it somewhere else. That's what it sounds like. Contingency plan sounds like they're going to move it somewhere else. The health and safety of our fans, performers, and employees are our top priorities, like you just said, and we are monitoring the situation closely with our partners and government officials in Tampa. So the second part of that is saying, this is what they have to say. We, of course, want everybody to be healthy, but of course, their top priority, like you said earlier, is the money, because otherwise this would be a no-brainer. At the very least, you postpone the event and say, we're going to suspend it and just all of our events, honestly, because they only did the Youngstown one is the only one that I saw that's legit flat out canceled. SmackDown, even though they're not going to do it in a big arena, it's still going to happen in Orlando. So really, they've only canceled one show, whereas, like you said, NHL, Major League, NHL and NBA have pretty much suspended the entire season. Like, we may not have any more, like, let's just say this, again, feasibly, we might have to skip straight to the playoffs when we pick back up when these two leagues. Like, the regular season is scrapped at. We might be playing in April, like August and September, finishing this season. We don't know, obviously. So they're scrapped at. XFL, their whole first season, gone. Like, done. Major League Baseball has pushed back. They got rid of all the spring games, all the spring training games, and opening day is pushed back,
at least 2 weeks.
Right, push back. That's what it is. Yes, MLS, the same thing, suspended.
Yeah.
For the time being. So, excuse me. So WWE, on the other hand, is like, look, man. Yeah, we want y'all to be safe, but we still want to make this money, and that's what the statement says to me. WWE, yeah. y'all gotta. y'all gotta understand, man, like, this is not, this will be a, because you can't be the only one doing this. This will be, I think, it would be worse if they actually did it. Mm-hmm. Or if they, like you said, moved to Saudi Arabia, then you put your talent at more risk because now they're traveling to another country back and forth. That's the last thing we need is people traveling back and forth.
Yeah.
If they don't have to other countries and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we already have this travel ban set up with the European countries for 30 days. So I don't know. Look, I don't know if the Saudi Arabia thing is a thing. That's just a thing that people have made up. That's not even like a real, at least far as we know, a real scenario. That's just
no,
what people
it's
kind of put out there.
Just me, you know. It was more as a tongue-in-cheek type tweet because of, you know, just looking at their relationship with Saudi Arabia over the last couple of years. And I was like, well, like a contingency plan could be they know they're going to be able to book that arena probably, yep. unless
stadium.
There's another event going on. Who
stadium.
Knows? But
forget that yeah. arena. Stadium. It could still be a stadium show in Saudi Arabia if they were to do
right.
that.
Right. So yeah, to them it's like, hey, we got that stadium pretty much anytime we want, almost. At least that's how it comes across. I obviously there's more layers to the situation, but yeah, that was something that I was just kind of like going back and forth with because I just expect them to either move it or just cancel it. And if there's any wrestling company in the world that can afford to do that, it's WWE. I mean, yes, they're going to lose out on millions of dollars and that's not good for the investors and everything like that. But it's happening to the NBA. It's happening to the NHL. They're not going to be the only company that is losing money. And I understand they're not technically a sports league. But they're probably the easiest entity to come back from that because they don't have an off season. So they could just move at will when there's a pandemic like this going on. And yes, it's not ideal, but you have to understand that you're also a trendsetter in that term. So other wrestling companies are going to follow your lead.
Yeah.
And if you're going on at WrestleMania, those independent companies that are running shows around there might have to cancel because they just feel weird about it. And then you're kind of messing up their situation too. And I know WWE doesn't care about that, but it's a lot more going on into the decision than, oh, we're losing money. Like you said, the talent, you know, where they are now, where like everyone's coming into Tampa. So you're not exactly putting your talent safety first. I think if you're just going to continue, why not just say, go home, we'll do studio shows. If anything, like I understand that's not optimal for WWE right now, but the NBA was at the end of the season, they had like a month left, month and a half before playoffs. The NHL, it was a really exciting time. March Madness. How do you think those, like, they didn't want to make that decision, but they felt the responsibility, the right thing to do was to make those decisions. Why does WWE have to be different? Why? I don't understand it. You know, they want to be this mainstream entity that people respect and admire. And, you know, they bring in Rob Gronkowski earlier this week, and that's going to fly under the radar because of this situation. Now more people are paying attention to what they're going to do about WrestleMania than Rob Gronkowski signing with WWE, which is a big deal. We were going to talk about that on the show a lot this week until, you know, the last 48 hours happened. So you know, that they pay attention to things that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things, and they're a global entity too. I don't understand the difficulty and of course I'm not running the company, so of course I'm not going to understand, but you compare yourselves to these sports and these global entities, and you're maybe you don't want to be looked at as following suit. Maybe you want to be looked at as a trendsetter. So what are you going to do? So maybe these contingency plans will eventually come to fruition, which I believe they will. I just can't imagine they hold WrestleMania in Tampa unless next week they come out with the vaccine and, you know, everyone's like, okay, we're good. But I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully it is the case. Hopefully, you know, things can turn around pretty quick. But and the same to AEW too. They moved two of their shows to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Two of the shows to Jacksonville. They're still having shows, and this is it's kind of the same thing for them too. They're in a probably a less enviable position than or lesser position financially than WWE, where WWE we think they can afford to lose out on a couple shows. Maybe not WrestleMania, but live events and a SmackDown or a Raw, okay. But AEW, a startup, probably like, we don't really want to, but I mean, you kind of have to, like you just said, like, look, especially if you're for your talent, not just for the people, because they're not trying to have a bunch of people around, but you're in a sport where people are making physical contact all the time with no clothes on, and or very little clothes on, I should say, and exchanging bodily fluids for a sweat and stuff like that. I mean, at least in football or something like that, you got pads on, you got equipment, you know, even that's not good.
And one of those people could have contracted the coronavirus and not even know. Like, what we know so far about it is you can have it and not exhibit symptoms. So to me, it just makes sense. Like, don't put yourself in that position. Whether you like Rudy Gobert felt fine, he said, like when he tested positive for the coronavirus. So you can be asymptomatic and but still have it. So I think right now, as we're recording this, you can only get tested if you are exhibiting the symptoms.
Symptoms, and if you come into contact with someone who who has it.
You know, with wrestling, like you can feel fine and go out and put on a match, but you can still have it. You know, like that's what's different about this. You know, like, it's not the flu. It's not a cold. Like, it's none of that. Like, you can feel fine and then not exhibit symptoms until, you know, a day or two later. So that's why I think, like you said, they're touching each other. They're sweating. They're bleeding, you know, especially in AEW, a lot of blood. I'm sure they wouldn't do that during this, but you have that too. So, yeah, it's a lot to really keep an eye on. And you can't expect everything to go smoothly.
Yeah, wrestling is, like you said, is so different from other forms of sports and entertainment because there is no off season, and there's always been a mentality that the show must go on. You know, and that goes from the wrestlers who, if they're hurt, you know, got to work hurt. If my arm's a little busted in any other form of entertainment or sport, guy sprains his ankle, he's out for a week or two. In wrestling, the show must go on. And for us, the promoters, when have you known a promoter to cancel a show unless they just didn't have the money to run the show? Like, no, you know, something happens, the show is going to happen. Like, that's just a wrestling mentality, is that no matter what, the show must happen. You work through it. And
you saw the worst case scenario play out in 1999 at Over the Edge. Yeah. Like, that's the worst case scenario in our lifetime. Obviously, there have been deaths in the ring and accidents in the ring since then, but that was the first time I think mainstream, like, I watched live. I didn't, obviously nobody saw the fall except the people in the arena, but watching the broadcasts, watching Jim Ross and all this, you know, that was my first experience of it. And then I thought that was normal. I thought, okay, the show must go on even in the event of death. Like, no, it doesn't have to be like that at all. And this is serious. Like, the show doesn't always have to go on for anything, but you're right. In wrestling, it's just different for some reason.
It's always been that way.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it's just, you know, you just gotta go forward, you know, and go through it.
And then you keep it in the back of your head, and you say it out loud. You're like, Owen Hart would have wanted us to continue the show. Well, I mean, like, it's easy to say that. It's really easy to say that. Maybe he really felt that way, but we're never going to know. It was just a freak accident, and it was crazy how that all played out. And, you know, I wasn't paying attention to, like, those press conferences or anything. And Vince McMahon was grilled about it after the event by the press and all that. So that's stuff I didn't see until years later. I'm just like, oh, I didn't even know this happened. So, you know, to me, it was kind of like in 1999, I was 13, 14 years old. I didn't look at the world the way I look at it now. So I take that into account too. You know, you're young and impressionable. You're like, wow, this accident took a man's life. One of my favorite performers that I watched on TV, but the show must go on. And I like bought into that for a while, but it just doesn't have to be like that. And this was this is a good chance for Vince McMahon to really kind of set a trend. And he's never, I guess, been good at that with social issues, but I don't know. Maybe facetiously, he can do the right thing morally.
All right. So, most likely scenario. What's most likely to happen if you had to give a prediction for as far as fate of WrestleMania? Will it go on as planned? Will it be pushed back, postponed? Will it be moved to another venue? Or is it canceled altogether?
If I had to say the most likely, not what I want to happen, but the most likely would be it's postponed to a later date. That would be my guess.
Mm. My guess would be it's moved. Now, where it's moved, who knows? I think it could, I mean, to me, nothing's off the table as far as where it could be if it is moved. But to me, I think the Performance Center, I don't think the Performance Center is going to happen there. I think, and it depends, I mean, it always depends on how the place is, where they move it to. Like, the first thing that popped in my head was Connecticut, because that's their home base.
Right.
But what's Connecticut going to, how receptive are they going to be to having an event like that happen in their state? You know, they're not going to, New York is right down, obviously the next state down, and they're not having the Big East tournament in New York City. So, is it New York? Is it any other state in the union? Is it Mexico? Is it Canada? Excuse me. Is it Canada? Or is it, like I said, overseas? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they get it around, like, the travel issue within the next 30 days, because that's gonna go past WrestleMania's current date, April 5th, right?
The travel thing is so, really for people who aren't American citizens. Like, now, as far as traveling, that's the risk you take with that, as far as is either contracting it or spreading it potentially more than what it already has. Right.
And that's the main issue for me.
Getting back and forth, that's not the issue, because as far as we know, most of the talent WWE are American citizens. I mean, there are probably a few that aren't. I'm sure there are, because, you know, people who work there that aren't from here.
Yeah.
But it's really people who are from European countries that you really got to work, because that's where that's what the ban is right now.
Yeah.
It hasn't expanded beyond that, but that's what it is right now. But like I said, the most likely scenario I see happening, just a prediction, no inside information, nothing like that, is that it's moved to a different location, and it probably still happens the day it's supposed to happen, which is, what, April 2nd?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Fifth.
Fifth? Okay.
Now, do you think it's going to happen? You said Connecticut or somewhere here. Do you think it's going to move to the U.S., or could you see a feasible scenario where they actually go to Saudi Arabia for this?
I said nothing's off the table. So, yeah,
and I think it's a talking point now because of their relationship with them. And I said before, I was facetious in my tweet, but it could be a thing that legitimately happens. Nothing would surprise me with this right now. So, I mean, they just move up their event and they make it WrestleMania instead of whatever is going on in October or November, whenever they have it next. Or maybe they, like you said, Connecticut. Yeah, like I could see that happening, but.
But again, that always depends on.
You mess up travel with the people going there, and they gotta like do something. Like WWE would probably have to be responsible for. I mean, maybe not, because they don't know where people are coming from. I mean, it's not like they're booking the flights or anything like that. But like, how does that affect the crowds coming and all that? Does Connecticut want, you know, people coming in from, like, they weren't even prepared?
The thing is, you have events like this, and if somebody, let's say somebody is one day perfectly healthy, they go to an event like this, and they come out, and they feel sick afterwards, and they take a test, and they have it. You were in the risk of being sued for something like this, right? Yeah. I would think, I mean, I don't know the law, you know, to the T, but sounds like grounds for a lawsuit. That's what it sounds like.
I mean, it's a pandemic. It's a global pandemic. It's been labeled a pandemic. Right. And you knowingly have this event where you're expecting, what, 60,000, 70,000 people? Come on.
That that, and but you're not forcing people to go neither. So that's another thing. If this happens, let's say it happens in Tampa or Orlando or Connecticut or anywhere in the United States or in the world for that matter. I mean, Saudi Arabia is different. We the people that it's a bot show, it's a totally different set of circumstances. But if you if this happens, if you are a fan, don't go to WrestleMania for your own safety, unless things change dramatically within the next week. Which, I mean, to be honest, I don't know if that's going to happen.
I mean, if you compare this week to last week, things have definitely changed dramatically. But right. I don't know if it can make another one. It was like I don't know if it can make another 180 a week from now. So.
Right. That's, I was thinking the same thing. Like things swung so dramatically this way. Hopefully, they can swing back the other way.
Right.
Hold out hope. Cross your fingers. Cross your toes. All that. Cross your heart even too.
Cross your cheeks.
If we're in the same situation we're sitting in right now, where it's like, okay, everything but essentially schools haven't shut down yet here, at least here in Philly.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But pretty much work from home, stay home, get your sick pay, get your, you know, vacation pay, whatever the case may be, you know, pile up on supplies, get your medicines, all that type of stuff. If we're in a situation that we're in pretty much right now, and we're kind of hunkering down for a week or two, do not go to WrestleMania for your own safety and the safety of others. I know for some of y'all, for some people, this is an annual rite of passage. Don't worry. Skip this one. There hopefully is another one. And I know for others, this is their first. And for some, they might think this is their only WrestleMania. This is my only chance to get to a WrestleMania. And I can understand that because you want to go and you're a fan. And it's just like the show of shows that you got to get to. But for your own safety, don't do it. Because if you stay home and then we can get this under control, see, there might be another one.
Yeah.
If you go and this stuff gets worse and worse and we don't, who knows what the hell is going to happen. So I implore you, stay home. I know it will suck. And, you know, especially if you have spent a lot of money, like I said, you got your job to give you the vacation time and whatnot, you can't get that back. You know, stay home.
And going and wearing a mask isn't going to do anything. So I would echo Vaughn's sentiment. You're not going to be able to go there and then wear anything that's going to prevent anything. You know, a mask isn't going to prevent you from contracting it. So that seems to be the ideological thing. Go get masks, go get gloves and all that. But it's, we've been told by experts that that's not really going to do anything. Maybe it makes you feel better. I'm not going to say one way or the other, but don't think that just because you wear a mask, you're not going to get it. There's obviously other ways that you can contract it.
Yeah, so it's just too big of a risk right now, man. It's just...
It is, and you got to listen to the experts, and you can't fall into the trap of thinking it's some big conspiracy and all this, and there's so much of that going on. It's all politics all the time, but what you have to do is block all that out. And yes, I know it's easier said than done. Block all that out, listen to the experts, and do, like, act on behalf of what you hear from experts, not politicians.
Yeah, so, I mean, especially like those indie shows, a lot of those indie shows, and look, those shows, they're going to suffer big time if none of this happens. They're going to take the biggest bath of anyone. Not from a monetary standpoint, just from a, you know, a relative standpoint. You know, WWE might lose the most money, but they still have tons of money in the bank.
Right,
you know?
Right.
They won't go out of business. Other companies, other promotions, independent promotions, they take a bath. That might be it. So, but the problem is, you know, even with WrestleMania, that's a risk, and that's in a nice, beautiful stadium where it's outside, there's concessions, there's proper bathrooms, they got people working in there who can try to clean everything. They clean everything. I'm sure as much as they can now, they're going to even clean it even more because of this now. So this is, you know, this is a top-flight facility that they're going to be in. When you come to independent shows, Maybe not. The air conditioner might not be working properly. You know, the bathrooms may not be great. You just don't know the quality of these venues can fluctuate. So they might be they're smaller, more compact. I mean, it's just stay home. I know it's gonna suck. Just don't do it. It's tough for everybody right now.
And you're not just helping yourself; you're helping the others around you because you might be carrying it and not even know.
Yeah. So I know we got to try to. I'm gonna try to change the subject here a little bit as we close out episode 230 to a little bit of a lighter subject, a lot lighter actually than coronavirus, fortunately. And that's my experience in a big crowd amongst a bunch of people at Elimination Chamber this past Sunday. It feels like eons ago already.
I gotta tell you, I almost regret every single show I don't go to that's in Philly, but I did not regret this one.
Look here, I told you last week I had no interest in this show other than the fact that my daughter really wanted to go to the show. Mm-hmm. And I took her, and she had a damn good time. She had so much fun.
That's awesome.
This show, for me, just me personally, crowd just wasn't that into it. This is like the most deadest Philly crowd I've seen in a while.
And it came across on TV.
And I'm sure it did. and rightfully so, because there's really nothing of consequence happening until the Shayna Baszler stuff. I mean, sure, the tag title match and stuff like that, but like after the Shayna, and once that happened, it was just like her mowing down the other women, which, I mean, yeah, put her over strong, but damn, at least Asuka can get some offense in on her. Like, Asuka get some time with her. And that really didn't happen. It was just like, oh, that's it? That's it, huh? Okay. And even my daughter was like, man, that wasn't that exciting. I was like, I know. Like, I understand they're trying to tell the story that Shayna Baszler was the ultimate badass and the ultimate badass challenger for Becky Lynch. But man, there's a different way to tell that.
The main event in Philly, not a way to go about it.
You could still make Asuka look good by having her go toe-to-toe with Shayna, but have Shayna still win. You can still make other people look good. If Shayna's supposed to be the badass, we all get that she's supposed to be the badass. Asuka is already labeled as, like, the badass person. But Becky Lynch couldn't even beat her for years until the Rumble. What's Shayna supposed to do against Becky? Kill her. She's supposed to kill her immediately. But I digress. The point is that this goes into an overarching point of that. Do we as adults get too wrapped up in this stuff more than we should? And I ask that because my daughter didn't care about anything about the finish except the Shayna Baszler one. The finishes or the work or the who's getting pushed and blah, blah, blah. She didn't care about none of that type of stuff. She just cared about the good guys and the bad guys. Did the good guy win? Oh, man. Now, obviously, she's a child. You know, children, especially at her age, their brains aren't fully developed yet. The nuance isn't quite there just yet. So I'm sure in 5 years' time, she'll be jaded, just as jaded as me or close to it. But there is something refreshing about to see that. And you mentioned the tweet from E-Rock earlier. He took his daughter to a live event, and she is going bonkers at every single thing. But, I mean, I would ask this question, but I know the answer. It's because we're adults and we have fully developed brains that can have nuance and stuff like that. But what do you think about that, as far as us getting too wrapped up in my 9-year-old daughter just going, yay!
Yeah, during the event, I don't remember when it was, but I remember texting you and asking you, like, how Gabby was enjoying the show and everything like that. And simply put, you're like, she loves it. Like, she was digging everything that was going on. It was, I think, halfway through the show or maybe even more than halfway through the show. And it just brought me back to when I started watching. And really, the only thing I cared about was if Hulk Hogan won. The Ultimate Warrior won, if all the good guys won and win the titles, that's what I wanted to see. You know, that was what brought me in, the crowd cheering for these guys. It was a completely different crowd. And then the families I watched it with growing up, and they're cheering for the good guys too. That really cultivated my fandom. So growing up, it wasn't until the Attitude Era that I really honestly paid attention when I got online and thinking like, oh, this guy's overrated, that guy's underrated, you know, that type of stuff that I started reading. And I'm just kind of like, really? Like, people think this? You know, that's weird. You know, I didn't even think of it back then. And there are so many times where I wish my head and my brain was back into that child mindset where, you know, I was pissed that Bret Hart walked away with the title at WrestleMania 12 after that draw. Like, I was like, Shawn Michaels needs to win. Like, what the hell? Like, why didn't Shawn Michaels win? And then they did the sudden death and Shawn Michaels won. And I'm like, hell yeah. Like, that's awesome. You know, like, we're not Bret Hart's the best technical wrestler in the world. So him retaining is the thing to do right here, you know? And like, that's, you know, with Twitter and the people that we interact with, me and you, Vaughn, on Twitter, that grew up, you know, the same, they're around the same age, some are older, some are younger, but we all kind of were fans for a reason, and it was mostly cultivated when we were young, and now we're looking at it in a different way. So we're also not the target audience of what WWE specifically is doing right now. Now, AEW, I think, is definitely targeted more towards the adult-oriented crowd that have been fans for a long time, that miss pro wrestling the way the NWA did it back in the day, where, you know, I didn't watch the NWA back then. I didn't watch WCW really until 93, 94, where I understood there was another wrestling promotion, but it didn't feel as big as WWF at the time. Then Hulk Hogan went there and all that. So I was more a fan of the presentation of what wrestling was that WWF did than the athleticism of what the NWA doing, the real life type storylines, the Dusty Rhodes and the Four Horsemen that felt real to pro wrestling fans, adults and maybe teenagers. I don't know. I wasn't watching at the time. I was too young anyway. I wasn't watching TBS. So I was more a fan of the presentation. So that's why I was pro WWF growing up. Now with AEW, you're more the storylines and the talents, more old school oriented from those NWA days and all that stuff. And that brings the older generation back to when they were kids watching that, whether they were in the South or whether they were watching TBS in the Northeast. I wasn't watching TBS in the Northeast. The only thing I was exposed to was WWF at the time. You know, that was the only wrestling company in my head. So to really be back in that and, you know, based off our conversation via text and how your daughter was loving just the entertainment value, she was watching stuff that crowd was reacting to, albeit it was a dead crowd a lot of the night, but I'm sure they were still like, she was still hearing cheers, hearing boos, and kind of formulating, you know, what in her mind, well, that was good then and that was bad then or something like that. That's kind of how I was. You know, everyone that would boo Randy Savage when he went against Hulk Hogan, I was like, man, Randy Savage must be an asshole or something like that. So you know, it just brought me back that we are not the target audience of WWE right now. The fact that your daughter was so involved in it, you know, that's the thing. Like, when they moved back to TVPG back in, 2008, I think it was, you know, it made sense to me. I didn't like it. Not a lot of people on the message boards liked it. But I understood why they were doing that. And then the storylines became less and less interesting to someone of my age. They were more kiddie oriented and all that stuff. And I kind of lost interest, but I still watched it. But you need that. You need to build that fandom as a child so they can try and stick with you. Like I am, like you are, like we're sticking with watching WWE because we grew up with it. That's why NXT usually wins the 50 and over demographic, because they're WWE fans that are going to watch a WWE program. So my thoughts were, it just reminded me that WWE is for kids, and it sucks to a degree because you have some really cool adult-oriented storylines going on through the last few years. You know, Samoa Joe on the mic, like little kid's not going to understand some of those references that he makes. You know, when he talked about AJ Styles and his wife or something like that, going to his house. Like, little kids aren't – they just want to see a good guy against the bad guy and the good guy win. That's how I was. That's how I think it really is nowadays with the kids. And they just don't care about those insider references and, oh, they're shooting now. Like, that's what entertains us because, like you said, we're – pretty much dated right now because WWE is the big bad wolf and we're not forced, but we, a lot of the content that we've gotten over the years kind of is just either hit or miss. And there's been a lot more misses than hits in our eyes. It's not just good guy versus bad guy. And even like the predictable outcomes, you think Roman Reigns is going to beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen twice. This is WrestleMania 31. Seth Rollins cashed in his briefcase. WrestleMania 34, Brock Lesnar beats him clean in the ring. It's kind of like, what the hell's going on? So it just brings back the thought process that WWE is not for us. But, you know, wrestling makes money. So we talk about it. We discuss it. We write about it. And people love, adults love following it still as they've grown through the years. So it's a crazy business the way you look at it. I mean, I was never a sports fan growing up. It was just wrestling. And I didn't become really a sports fan until high school, even though I played baseball growing up and I only watched baseball, but then I got into hockey, got into football, got into basketball, you know, in high school. So, for the kids now, you know, maybe they'll reach an age where they're like, okay, I'm done with it. Doesn't entertain me anymore, but it's really cool to see that, though. You know, the WWE is still an entertainment program for kids, and just their reactions kind of make you realize it's for them, it's not for us.
The thing about wrestling fans is that, at least wrestling fans our age, is that we're all kind of chasing that feeling when we were kids. It's like a drug almost. It's never as good as the first time, right? That's what they say, at least. I've never partook in anything like that. But when we were kids, it was enchanting. It was like at its best. Everybody, when wrestling was, when they were a kid, when they were younger, say up to like 15, 16, that was their golden age of wrestling, whether it was the 70s or the 80s or the 90s. I don't know if kids today think that 2005 was their peak or whatever, but like, especially if they watch the older stuff, but like, for people our age and older, when they were a kid, that's when it was at its best. That's their golden age. And you spend almost the rest of your life trying to chase that feeling. When you're an adult, you probably won't get that feeling quite back, but there are times when we get that fleeting moment of like, wow, this is like when I was a kid again. But, and maybe that's WWE's fault for just never giving it to us. But yeah. Also, it's just like, hey, man, it's just not going to be like the way it was when we were kids, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, like,
Or to just, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. Because we are kind of like chasing that same feeling we had when we were kids. Now, and I think we kind of expect wrestling to have adapted to our adaptations. Like, we've grown and we've become more adults, obviously, and more mature. So we've adapted our tastes and our, you know, thoughts and processes to more mature, you know, thoughts and processes where wrestling is like, hey, this has worked before. It still works now. Like, let's keep it going. We're like, no. It should be this. And it's like, and I think, honestly, it should be that. I think it's time for a change in tone in wrestling to something else because, you know, even though WWE is such a juggernaut and they make so much money, but maybe if they changed and became cool, those buildings that are half full would be full. Maybe their pay-per-view revenue or the WWE Network subscriptions will go up. Maybe their merchandise revenue will go up and what have you. You know, instead of just seeing, like, the numbers fall and being like, we're still pretty good. Like, maybe you can get back to, like, selling out all across the country. You know, maybe your television ratings won't go back up because the society is different now. We just, you know, people have streaming services and whatnot. So, all right, maybe you give up on that. On trying to, you know, increase viewership. Obviously, that you still want to increase viewership, but maybe you can still try to do things to increase and in-arena attendance and what have you. So, I don't know. That's just my two cents on the matter. But, you know, it's an interesting interesting thing that I think every wrestling fan should think about. Especially if you're, you know, I'm 31. How old are you, Nick?
34.
If you're over the age of, like, 25, kind of, like, evaluate where your wrestling fandom is. Just evaluate your wrestling fandom in general. What do you want out of it? And kind of measure that up against a kid. What do they want out of it? You know, and what do you want out of it now versus what you wanted out of it back then? Did you get what you wanted back then? Are you getting what you want now? I would imagine you got what you wanted back then. That's the reason why you got so hooked on it. That's the reason why you watch it today. And look at it now and be like, why am I not getting what I want now? Just take a minute to evaluate. I think that'll be a healthy exercise. I mean, we got a little bit of time because, you know, in the house, in the crib, so do some self-reflection a little bit. But in the meantime, so you can get back to you in your self-reflection, we're going to wrap up episode 230 of The Straight Shooter. So, Nick, take us out with some plugs, please.
Yeah, that's a good way to end it, man. And I just think about it. 10 years ago, 2010, John Cena was in his prime, and really in his prime 3 or 4 years before that. So, him coming back. Whew. And just imagine being that type of fan, like me growing up, Hulk Hogan coming back at WrestleMania, like he did in, you know, WrestleMania 9 and winning the title. You know, it was just, yeah, that's my addition to that. But you can follow me at Nick Pacone on Twitter. Follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/TheStraightShooters. And you can read PhillyInfluencer.com, PhillyVoice.com, listen to this podcast on there, and tune in to Fox Sports The Gambler every Monday through Friday, 3 to 6, with The Daily Ticket with Sean Brace. You might be hearing from me very, very soon on there. So there we go.
Well, I am at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. If you can't find me there, then you won't find me. Because that's probably where I'm going to be, actually. I'm probably going to be on there more than I am out here in these streets. Because as I said earlier, I don't plan on being out in these streets too much in the next week or so. For my protection and yours. So, yeah, check us out on all those platforms that I mentioned earlier. Those podcast platforms that I said, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, etc. Of course, ShootersRadio.com. You can find all 29 episodes of The Straight Shooters. This one will be up there as well. You can go to Patreon, subscribe to some exclusive content for the nominal fee of $1.99. That's on patreon.com/shootersradio. But until next time, for Nick Pacone, I'm Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to episode 230 of The Straight Shooters, and we'll catch y'all again next week.
Peace.